So our next speaker is Tim Chan. Tim comes from Massachusetts Institute of Technology and MGH. And he's going to talk to us about applications of robust optimization in lung cancer treatment. Thanks for coming, Tim.
Thanks, Mike. I'm used to typically wandering around on stage, so if I do that, please somebody yell at me and I'll come back to the podium. So I'm here to talk about robust optimization applied to lung cancer treatments. And here's the outline, just to give you a perspective. So first we're going to talk about motion, and in particular, motion uncertainty. We're all aware of motion as a part of respiratory or breathing motion that is characteristic of tumors in the lung. But what is motion uncertainty? How does uncertainty in the motion itself affect the treatment? Next, I'm going to talk a bit about this motion data and how we can summarize some of this data using a probabilistic function, a probability density function, or a PDF for short. So this PDF can help summarize this information into a useful manner to be used in the subsequent optimization. Next, I'm going to go into the robust optimization methodology, what we call the Goldilocks approach, and hopefully that becomes evident why we call it that a little later on. But basically, robust optimization is a tool that we have in our toolbox that allows us to solve optimization problems, in this case a treatment planning problem, for example, that is somehow contaminated with uncertain data. So here the uncertain data is the motion data, the uncertain motion. And then finally we'll compare this robust approach with a couple of other approaches that hopefully we're all fairly familiar with, and I think we're well described in the last two presentations. Okay. So what's the overall big question that we're concerned with when we're thinking about robust methods? Well, the question that we're concerned with is, how do we ensure that we generate a good plan or a good treatment in the face of some sort of uncertainty? So here, in this problem, what is the exact uncertainty that we're thinking about here? Is this slide cut off? Do you guys? Or is it just on my TV screen here? Okay, it's just my TV screen, sorry. So what is the exact uncertainty that we're thinking about here? So here on the video on the left, you see motion, but it's just not just the presence of the motion that we're concerned about, but it's the possible irregularities in the motion itself that we want to be concerned with, because that is what's going to affect the quality of the resulting solution. So how do we define a good plan? In this presentation, we're going to think of a good plan as one that guarantees tumor coverage, so delivers some sufficient amount of dose to the tumor. That's going to be the robust part, while at the same time trying to minimize the amount of dose we deliver to the healthy tissue as much as possible. That's the optimization part coming in. So the first point that I'd like to make is the fact that the existence of probabilities doesn't necessarily imply uncertainty. So this maybe takes a little bit to think about, but one way to think about it is that probabilities could really just be a natural expression of some physical phenomenon. For example, regular motion. So here we have a sinusoidal trace. We try to summarize this motion with some probability density function, which says that this trace, we spend a lot of time at phase zero, we spend a lot of time at phase pi, and a less amount of time in between. So here we have some probabilistic description of the motion, but the underlying motion itself need not be irregular. It's a very periodic here, very regular. On the other hand, what we think about motion uncertainty is as follows. Uncertain motion may lead to many different PDFs. Okay, so if the patient was behaving according to this trace, okay, that generates one PDF, but then after this, the patient starts behaving differently, like this green trace. And then that leads to a different PDF. And then after that, maybe a different trace, this red trace, and yet again, another PDF. So it's really the possibility that the patient can realize one of many different PDFs that is the uncertainty that we care about here. Okay? So not just the fact that there's some PDF, but the fact that there could be one of many PDFs, and we don't know a priori which one the patient will behave like on a given treatment day. That's what we're thinking about. So now let's start off and describe a couple of approaches, and I think we've covered this in the last talk, so I won't spend too much time on it. But the first approach that we'll think about is this 4D optimization approach, which is basically trying to take into account via this convolution-deconvolution method that was talked about in the first presentation. So thinking about a convolution with a PDF to essentially undo the blurring effect of the motion. Okay. So in this method, we're really thinking about one PDF, and we're doing the deconvolution with respect to one PDF. So what does this 4D approach implicitly assume? Well, it's really implicitly assuming that there's some reproducibility or some stability of the underlying motion, meaning that the patient's going to come in on one day, we're going to acquire their data, and on all of the subsequent treatment days, the patient is really going to be doing the exact same thing. This would be the right method to approach that type of situation. So it's really taking into account exactly one PDF, and you can think about it intuitively as if this is a really a best-case scenario. We've got a patient who's really behaving like a robot and is able to just do the same thing every day, and we can treat with confidence. Now, at the other end of the spectrum, we have this approach, which I'll call the ITV-like approach. And it's not exact. So the idea behind this approach is that essentially we're trying to ensure or achieve ITV coverage. Now, I call it ITV-like because I don't actually mean the geometric voxels that are based in the treatment room coordinate system that we traditionally think of as composing the ITV. But here we're really talking about, to make a fair comparison, the anatomical voxels of the CTV, thinking about how they move over the different phases of motion. And really, we're trying to ensure CTV coverage for every phase of the breathing cycle, for example. So to first order, you can think we're trying to cover the ITV, but we're really thinking about the anatomical voxels here. Okay. So what does this ITV-like approach implicitly assume? Well, this is really doing the exact opposite of what we were talking about on the previous side. It's really assuming totally unstable motion, okay? Because it's saying that, well, I'm going to care about the time, the case when the tumor is going to be a delta, the PDF describing the motion can be a delta function at exhale, or it could be a delta function at inhale, or it could be, you know, spread out anywhere in between exhale and inhale. So it's really taking into account all the different PDFs under the sky if we want to be, if we want to ensure tumor coverage. So in a sense, this is really thinking about a worst-case approach, trying to take into account more information than we really ought to. So what we propose, what we'd like to think about in a robust approach, or in this case the Goldilocks approach, is to construct an intensity map that takes into account some amount of the emotion uncertainty, so in this case some family of the PDFs, but not all the PDFs, and not just one. Okay. What does this robust approach entail? Essentially, what we do is you think about taking one PDF but adding some error bounds or error bars around it. And what that does implicitly is we're telling the optimization to take into account some PDFs, but not everything. And so this is why we call it the Goldilocks approach, because it's sort of not too hot, not too cold, but maybe getting closer to just right. So now let's take a step back to go to a bit higher level to think about the optimization process as a whole. So thinking about what we do in a typical optimization, we're taking in a bunch of input data, a picture of the internal anatomy, these dose calculations. In this case, when we have a problem with motion, we'll take into account some motion data. We'll do the optimization. Maybe it's the 4D approach. Maybe it's the ITV-like approach. Maybe it's something else. And then out pops, after we do the optimization, out pops some solution, some intensity map. How does this change when we start thinking about trying to incorporate uncertain motion data? What we do is we add this extra box here, which we call the model of uncertainty. So basically now we're taking the motion data and we're feeding it into some box to pre-process this data, come up with some model of the motion, some PDF model, plus the associated uncertainty around this one PDF. So some family of PDFs that we're really protecting against. And all of this is now being fed into the optimization. The mathematics here has changed from this box to the slide from before. So now we're using some mathematics from robust optimization. I'm not going to get into that in this talk, the details of how the mathematics have changed, but if anybody is interested in talking about that afterwards, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about it then. But basically, these two boxes as a whole really make up this robust methodology where we think about having a model of the data uncertainty and using that explicitly in the optimization. What I'll talk about a little later is that this model actually includes, as special cases, the 4D approach and the ITV-like approach that was mentioned earlier. So if you essentially set the parameters of your model one way, you'll recover the 4D approach. If you do it a different way, you'll get the ITV approach. But if you do it any other way, you'll, in a sense, get all of these other, this continuum of solutions in between these two extremes. So now let me try to illustrate some of this with a more practical situation, a lung case here. So here we're really thinking about doing the optimization according to the previous slides. But now when we come up with that solution at the end of the optimization, this intensity map, we want to test the goodness of this solution with a bunch of uncertain scenarios, in particular these 52 different PDFs. So basically we have 50 some odd different uncertain scenarios that we didn't explicitly account for in the optimization. We do the optimization and then we see how well our solution performs on these 50 some odd cases that we didn't explicitly account for. So here's the 4D approach, or where you recall we're thinking about optimizing just one PDF in mind. So here, if we DVH actually has 50. So for example, this tumor line has actually 50 red lines plotted on top of each other. All of these trials are just on one DVH, on one figure. So here we see that if we're trying to be very aggressive and only take into account one PDF. These 50 scenarios might degrade the quality of our solution. We might be underdosing up here, and also there's more variability in the parts where we're overdosing as well. If you now move to thinking about a situation of the robust approach, then here we see that even though we're not explicitly taking into account these 50 uncertain scenarios, the fact that we've considered more than just one makes us more robust to these uncertainties. So here it seems like almost 100% of the time we're hitting this minimum requirement, and moreover down here it looks like the max dose is no more than about 79 or so, whereas before, this was the picture before. Okay. And of course, you know, there's no free lunch here, right? There's got to be some trade-off involved, and of course there is. So here I plot the three approaches, but just one uncertain scenario, one PDF. So here we have the 4D approach, which is the solid line, and that's underdosing and overdosing here. And the robust and the ITV approach are more robust, so we have a better DVH line right there. But where's the trade-off? So let's just focus on the left lung here, the blue line. So who's performing the best in the left lung? Well, that's the 4D solution. And intuitively, why is it performing the best? Well, it's because it can be very aggressive. It doesn't need to protect against all of these different scenarios that the other approaches are protecting against. So it's, in a sense, less constrained than the other approaches. But, you know, maybe qualitatively here, we can begin to see that even though the robust solution is performing better here, it doesn't necessarily have to give up a lot in terms of healthy tissue dose. So let's put some numbers on this right now. So here we see we're comparing just these two objectives, essentially. The minimum dose to the tumor, which is a surrogate for tumor coverage, and the total dose or the mean dose to the lung. And we're comparing these three approaches. So here we see that the 4D approach is underdosing on average. These numbers are averages of the 50-odd trials. It can underdose by quite a bit, whereas the robust approach over these 50 trials almost always ensures tumor coverage. Right? So what's the price of robustness here? That comes here, which is the dose to the left lung. As you would expect, the 4D approach does the best. So compared to the ITV approach, it reduces the dose of the healthy tissue by about 15%. But the robust approach, while almost guaranteeing tumor coverage, is simultaneously able to reduce the dose to the left lung by about almost 11% on average. So when we think about data like this, we need to start thinking about maybe looking at it through maybe a multi-objective lens. Some of you might be familiar with multi-objective optimization or a Pareto frontier. Basically, this figure essentially plots just those numbers that I showed you on the previous figure. So here on the x-axis, we have integral dose to the lung on the x-axis, and on the y-axis, we have minimum dose to the tumor. So here we see that the ITV approach is doing the worst. It's delivering the most dose to the left lung, but it's the best in terms of being down in terms of tumor coverage. And what we see is if we give up essentially just a tiny little bit, this tiny vertical height here, we can actually give up only a little bit in terms of tumor coverage, but gain a lot in terms of left lung dose minimum reduction. But if we want to further reduce the dose, then that's when we start curving upwards, and that's when we start to have to give up more and more in terms of treatment coverage. Okay. So here, this point is really just trying to find the right compromise between these two extremes. So here, intuitively, I've been trying to build up to is this concept of a continuum of robustness. And what we can do, what we can actually show is that this continuum, not just graphically, this continuum holds mathematically. So we can rigorously show that, going back to the previous slide where we were talking about trying to do these trade-offs in a rigorous manner. This is exactly what we're trying to do here. So basically what we're saying is our robust framework has these two extremes as special cases, and if you allow the treatment planner, to tailor the model to the specific patient, you can actually generate a solution anywhere in this continuum. So if you have a patient who comes in and you build the model and the model says, this patient is a very regular breather, the mathematics of the optimization, it's automatically going to drive your solution to the left, saying you can afford to come up with a solution that's more aggressive because this patient is more consistent. And on the other hand, if you had a patient who was more erratic in their breathing, for example, this methodology would automatically drive the solution to the right. So that's basically it. Just some takeaways, hopefully, that I hope you get from this presentation. Here we're thinking about motion, but more than motion, we really need to start thinking about motion uncertainty. How do we deal with the uncertain motion that can be realized during any particular treatment? Robust optimization gives us a continuum of options to deal with various levels of uncertainty. You know, none of the patients are the same. You know, there's a population of patients out there. Every patient is different. So the patient belongs somewhere in this continuum, and it's up to us to come up with the right model to look at the data to try to pinpoint where this patient is in this continuum. You know, we do the modeling, but the optimization and the mathematics behind it does the heavy lifting in trying to find the right solution on the continuum. And finally, just to think about some future directions of where we might go from here. Some of this work that I've been talking about today we've been experimenting it, trying to implement these robust intensity maps on the LINAC and measuring it with a detector array on top of a motion phantom, and there's a poster here that describes that work. You could also think about what Mike mentioned earlier, using this in conjunction with other strategies. This is the same pointer to that tumor trailing poster that Mike was saying. Just to think about, you don't have to use robust optimization as a standalone technique. You can think about combining it, using it in concert with other strategies where you now split up the uncertainty. You know, you use this strategy to deal with the slow-moving component of motion, and you use the robust strategy, for example, to deal with the fast-moving component. Okay. You could also think as a technique on a higher level, using these types of approaches to deal with other treatments, to deal with other uncertainties in different modalities. So there was a talk just in the previous section dealing with setup uncertainty and range uncertainty in proton treatments. And finally, I think as we're trying to bring together here in this symposium, thinking about individualization of treatments, thinking about making treatments more adaptive, I think there's a clear link between those thinking about those ideas and robust optimization, not just in the lung, but in other sites. Thank you.